verses 1 through 7. But first I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for this morning to be with you and to start our morning off being in your presence. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that it will speak life to us, that it will be an encouragement and an exhortation to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to read from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, and I've titled this short devotion, Uncompromising Prayer. And so this is what it says. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of the priests became obedient to the faith. And so here we have in the early church that they're experiencing, it says here, they experience an increase in number. So they were going through a season of growth of people coming to know who Jesus was. And I think everyone in their lives likes to see growth. But here in this situation, we see that we can see that sometimes growth presents new challenges. That with growth comes new challenges. And even here we see that it was growth along with diversity as well. And so these two things, growth and diversity, were presenting new challenges to the disciples. And what I've learned as I've worked in different places, that they love diversity. They enjoy. I think it's a beautiful thing with people from different cultures, different backgrounds, come and work together. And I think everyone's for it. And we say, wow, that's such a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. But very few realize how hard it is to actually work in a diverse place. Because you have different cultures, you have different ethnicity, different races, different backgrounds coming together into one place. And I remember a pastor sharing once, telling us at our church, he said, because you are such a diverse group, you require an extended amount of grace towards one another. And I saw that to be so true. Because when you have people from, let's say, from the U.S., because I worked in a church where there's people from the U.S., from Thailand, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, China, and Europe, all in one place. And we all have different understandings of how we should greet one another, of how we should address leadership. And sometimes these things are not talked about, and because they're not talked about, then sometimes unconsciously and unintentionally in a diverse place, we tend to offend each other because of our diverse backgrounds. And so here, along with the growth and that diversity happening, there was tensions happening. And this is what we realize, that the diversity brought new problems and seems to brought to light some hidden favoritism. Okay, so it says here that the Hellenists were complaining about being neglected in comparison to the Hebrew widows. Okay? So here, and I think sometimes we may think ourselves that we're a certain way, but unless we're positioned and placed in that moment and in that circumstance, very few of us know how we will act in those moments. And I think in this passage here, we see that, yeah, that there is some favoritism happening here. Is it racial? Maybe. Is it race related in terms of the Hellenists and the Hebrews? And maybe the Hebrews, maybe the ones in charge are Hebrews and they're giving out the widows. And maybe they're thinking, well, let me first take care of my own people. Let me first take care of all the Hebrews while the Hellenists were being ignored. And so we see that there's a favoritism happening here in this moment. And so they complain about being neglected in comparison to the Hebrew widows. So this here presented a leadership challenge to the apostles. What are they to do? They're growing in number. There's diversity, and there seems to be some maybe racial favoritism happening within the group. As what are they to do? This is their leadership moment. And so I wanted to go through some of how the apostles responded to this situation that perhaps we can learn from for our own lives. And it says that they first summoned the other disciples. So the apostles summoned the other disciples. They brought other people into to be a part of the conversation of what needed to happen. And I think that's so important in leadership and in our lives that sometimes our views can be so narrowed that we need other voices to speak into our lives to allow us to see things differently. And so we see here that the disciples, they could have just made the decision. They said, you know what? We are the disciples. We are the apostles. We walked with Jesus for 3 years. We know Jesus best. We know what his heart would be. We're making this decision. They could have done that. But it says that they summoned the rest of the disciples for this moment. And so they made their case understood. They told them that. It says that, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it's not right that we should give up the preaching of the word of God to serve tables. And so the disciples, they make their case to be understood. And one of the things they mention is their capacity. As it seems that it was taking away from what their main responsibilities and duties were. Okay, so they're saying, Why should we stop from praying and from preaching the word of God to then serve tables? It's not that serving tables was lesser than the other things, but as the apostles, as part of their leadership, there's certain main responsibilities that fell on them. And so they first make their case that my capacity doesn't allow this to really happen. And I think that's huge for us when I think sometimes we can't say no. We always feel that, can you do this? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. Can you do this? And suddenly our capacity begins to dwindle, and the things that we're really supposed to be doing, we no longer have space for. But here the apostles recognize their capacity. And so they made their case, and they also understood their responsibility as well. They understood that their main responsibility was supposed to be dedicated to prayer and the word. And so I think it's important for us to know in areas of leadership in our lives or just in general that we understand what our responsibilities are, that we understand what really we're supposed to do. I remember one of my mentors, one of the days told me when I first started working, I told him, well, I have to do this, I have to do that. I really don't. This was when I first started in ministry. I was telling him all the things I have to do. I was like, I don't even know if I have time to pray. And he's and I remember his words. He said, there are some things you cannot delegate and empower others to do. Those are your responsibilities, the things that only you can do. And I think there has to be a recognition that as leaders or even leading a family, that there are some things that just fall on you that you can't really abdicate that leadership to others. And so here the disciples knew that, okay, our main responsibility is to be in prayer and to be in the Word. We can't give that out to other people, but we can delegate the responsibility of the distribution of the food. Because that wasn't their main responsibility. Their main responsibility of what God had called them to do was the Word and to be in prayer. And so we see that happening here, that they understood their responsibility to prayer and ministry in the Word. The next thing we do is that they empower others to make a decision. That they, as they've called the other disciples, they said, hey, you guys are the ones that are going to make this decision. But as leaders, they gave clear guidelines. And I like that because I think sometimes there's nothing more frustrating as an unclear leader. And here they said, this is what they tell them. They said, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, of whom you will appoint to the duty. And so as leaders, they provided that clarity. And I remember sometimes, and I think even as parents that even can happen, or even when we're in the workplace as well, that when we don't communicate with clarity, people get lost, people get confused, people get frustrated. And we see here the disciples saying, hey, they didn't just say, hey, go choose some men, but they were very precise on the type of men they were supposed to choose, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And I think this is intriguing because I think we find ourselves in frustration with other people, but that frustration fully falls on us because we didn't communicate clearly. And so I think an example of this would be that I remember sometimes that we can have expectations of someone, but if it hasn't been communicated clearly, and then that person fails us, then they failed us without even knowing. We were giving them a test without them even knowing they were going through a test, you could say. But here the disciples said, this is a type of man. Imagine the disciples would have been, oh, we chose this man. And then the apostles go, why didn't you choose men full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of this? These are the type of, it's like, well, why didn't you tell us? Granted, they could have hopefully exercised that wisdom themselves, but I think there is something about the disciples providing that clarity. And I think there's something in our lives, whether we're in positions of leadership or parents or even in friendships, that when we communicate clearly, even in friendships, we have expectations of our friends that sometimes haven't been communicated clearly. And when they fail us, we feel that, well, you should have known this, but it wasn't communicated with clarity. So we see that happening here is that they gave clear guidelines and they understood their responsibility being to prayer and the ministry of the Word. As the apostles, that the main calling upon their lives was to go and make disciples and to be dedicated to the preaching of the Word. And I think sometimes we try to separate the preaching of the Word in our lives apart from prayer. But here it's put together. And so what I take from here is that they would not compromise these two areas, the ministry of the Word and prayer in their lives. And we then see that as they've chosen now someone, that they prayed over them, they've empowered someone to do it. So as leaders, they were able to let go. You know, I think sometimes that's one of the hardest things, that we want to do everything ourselves. But here the apostles were able to say, hey, you do it now. You run with this. Here's a vision. You run with that vision. They weren't trying to do more than their capacity because they understood what their main responsibility was. And I think that can be applied in so many different areas of our lives. And so they prayed over the chosen leader and what we see there, it says in verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And so we see that as they've dealt with this leadership problem of this racial tension between the Hellenists and the Hebrews. And as they empowered others, they actually experienced more growth in their lives. And so as I've been mostly focusing on the book of Acts on prayer, and the reason why I titled this message Uncompromising Prayer is that we see here that those were the two things the apostles would not compromise. They would not compromise prayer and being in the Word. And I find that to be so important as I ask myself, what is the role of prayer in my life? And I ask myself, do I compromise prayer for other things? Is prayer being squeezed out of my life? And I think sometimes before, now I've tried to be more intentional with prayer and scheduling and putting prayer at some point in my day and then making my day around that so I don't compromise it. But I think sometimes we go, okay, this is how my day's going to go. And if I happen to have time, I'll pray or be in the Word. And I think that speaks hugely in our lives. Are we compromising prayer and being in the Word in our lives? And that's something for us to reflect on, and me personally as well, is that, yeah. And so I think for that, as we go into a time of worship, of are you compromising prayer and the Word in your life as something that if you have time, you'll add it in? And I think we're all in some form of leadership, whether we're parents, we're leading our children, where we're their fathers, we're leading our families, whether we're mothers, we're leading our families, whether we have friends, we're leading our friends. All of us in some way are in a position of leadership and leading others in our lives. And I think just to go with is that there's nothing more powerful about a leader that prays and that is in the Word. And so here we see that in the apostles, that hey, the importance of the distribution of the food was as important, but they couldn't compromise on prayer and the Word. And so throughout our day, maybe there are some things that, yeah, they might be important, but maybe those are things that we can set aside to have moments of prayer and have moments in the Word in our lives. And I think those are some of the things. And so as we reflect, let's reflect on, do I compromise prayer for other things? Am I constantly just going throughout my day and then seeing at the last minute if I can add prayer and the Word in our lives? And so, Father, we thank you for your Word and the leadership qualities that we learned in the apostles' lives, of inviting others into a conversation about. And I like here, Father, that there was a tension happening between the Hellenists and the Hebrews, and they didn't wait for things to just, well, let's just see if things settle themselves. But no, they acted in that moment as well to deal with a problem that was happening. And so, Father, I thank you for just, maybe there are things in our lives that we're just letting them run, but you're calling us to step into those things and to deal with those things. And so, Father, as we go into a time of worship, I pray that there are some things here that can speak into our lives about our capacity and about our responsibilities in our lives, about the things that only we can do. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Love that is kind. Love love that keeps no offenses or wrongs in mind. Make me like Jesus, make me like Jesus. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I'm open, I'm open. Is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. Faithful to find me right where I am. Though even in my wandering, you call me friend. Mercy receives me and lifts me to my feet, and I'm caught up in the wonder and mystery of knowing Jesus, of knowing open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. Is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open.
Seeing, where are you going?
open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. My heart is an open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open. Open space for you to come and have your way. I am open, I am open.
Now, Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we won't compromise prayer in our lives. That even as things may seem like they're getting busy or our capacity just seems overwhelmed, that we would deal with those areas and protect our intimate moments with you, and that we would be uncompromising in prayer and being in the Word as well. Not as religious duties, but as our spaces, as our moments where we are in relationship with you, where we are in conversation with you, where we are in intimacy with you. Because at the end, that is what we are protecting. We're being uncompromising in our intimacy with you, Father. That we wouldn't just try to squeeze our intimacy with you at the end of the day, but that we would be intentional. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. And just continue to build these leadership qualities that we see in the apostles' lives, in our lives, and letting us know when to empower others, and letting us know our capacity and our responsibility, so we can lead better in our lives, whether it be in our workplace, in our homes, or in our friendships. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our community prayer, and let's lift those up who have cancer and have chemo, are going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Illnesses and are also in need of salvation. Thank you. Let's pray for those that have infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs in this season. Let's pray for our mission focus today. Pray for those that oversee the education. Let's pray for those that oversee the prayer and healing. Let's pray for the evening outreaches happening. Let's pray for the moms going through pregnancy. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Father, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We surrender this day today to you as we walk out in wisdom and courage to live out the life that you've called us to live out as your sons and daughters, in loving you and loving the people around us as we go throughout our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. See you tomorrow.